America, it is vital that you don't fall asleep on Israel's creep into the U.S. military. On July 14th, the Senate's cloture vote on the bloated $1.15 trillion NDAA for fiscal year 2027 collapsed 50-46, falling short of the 60 votes needed. Senate Majority Leader John Thune pulled a slick maneuver, though, flipping his vote to no just to file a motion to reconsider and keep this monstrosity on life support. Buried deep inside are the infamous provisions, Section 219 in the House, Section 1217 in the Senate, sections that Representative Thomas Massie has rightly branded as an unprecedented institutional merger, jamming Israeli technology straight into America's weapons systems, slashing congressional oversight, and locking foreign influence into our defense industrial base.
In the NDAA, Section 219, which is going to start commingling our military supply chains and technology with Israel's, doesn't make sense to do that with a country of 10 million people. But they've got that in the NDAA. I'm told that's not coming up this week, but we know it's going to come up sometime, probably sometime soon. And so I've offered an amendment to strip Section 219, it was called Section 224, from that bill.
While Democrats torpedoed the bill, mostly over Trump's Iran policy.
No, the real danger to national security is this war that's out of control. It's this war that has alienated our allies. It's this war that has totally diminished American power and ability to defend ourselves in the world.
But the real Trojan horse? APAC Uniparty pulled one of the oldest tricks in the book, dangling a shiny carrot on a stick while they ram the dagger of surrender deeper into our sovereignty. In a razor-thin procedural vote, the House bundled the SAVE Act, that includes the toxic Section 219 Israel military tech merger, forcing Americans to swallow the unprecedented fusion of our weapon systems, supply chains, and defense industrial base with a foreign power just to get basic election integrity. You aren't getting real voter ID without handing over control of America's military future to Tel Aviv. How in the hell is this national defense, the fusion of U.S. and Israeli military tech, barely registered a whisper from the Mockingbird media? CNN, Fox, MSNBC, The New York Times, and the rest hammered the partisan gridlock angle nonstop, framing it as simple obstruction, while burying the sovereignty-shredding details of this United States-Israel Defense Technology Cooperation Initiative. Outlets that preach democracy and integrity treated Section 219 and 1217 like it was invisible.
Breaking news tonight, the major health scare across the country is lettuce making Americans sick.
Meanwhile, Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton is quietly hammering another nail into the coffin of American foreign policy independence. His Section 622 provision, now renamed 619, is still buried in the Intelligence Authorization Act for fiscal year 2027. The provision is a straitjacket forcing future presidents to expand and enhance intelligence sharing across virtually every sensitive domain in the Middle East, with strict limits on any president's ability to pause, reduce, or restrict that flow unless they can prove a specific and identifiable national security concern. This stealth provision remains a quiet time bomb, waiting for leadership to push it through, likely buried in a larger package when the timing is right to strike. As of today, nothing has moved in the Senate. Thune's motion sits ready while horse trading drags on. But the House is barreling forward this week, with the Rules Committee deciding today on Massey's amendment to strip Section 219. Patriots are flooding the lines, but the bipartisan blob keeps pushing this deeper fusion anyway. This NDAA isn't about defending America first. It's about entrenching forever wars, drafting our children into a hell pit, scoring foreign leverage, and forever entangled.
That's right. That report's from yesterday. It's set to pass the House today with the section for the Israeli takeover in it. Call Congress now. Tell them strip Section 219, written by Netanyahu. Stay with us.
nation.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Number two on this Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026 transmission. I am your embattled host, Alex Jones. All right, in about an hour and a half, Michael Yon is going to be in studio with us on the deep dive on geopolitics, the closing of the Strait of Hormuz, what it means with the Houthis getting ready, and they got the power they did before to close the strait there in the Red Sea. The giant Defense Authorization Act, Trump announcing that he's getting ready to transfer centrifuges that can produce nuclear weapons-grade material to the Saudis. That's your headline, Saudis to get nukes. You heard that nowhere but here. People are like, that's ridiculous. Oh, yeah, really it is, huh? Right? My bread and butter is getting it right, folks. I don't tell you something unless I've done deep research and know it to be true. When I speculate on things, I'll tell you now, this is speculation. When I'm telling you it's not speculation, it's not speculation. That's all coming up. But I want to look at the left. I want to focus on them. We focus so much on Trump going sideways and the betrayal and the good he does and the bad he does. And I got some examples of the good. But at the end of the day, Trump's 80 years old. Trump's going to be moving on. We got to talk about what we face around the world, in Europe, in the United States, in what's left of Christendom, from the left and what they're up to, and the fact that a lot of people are waking up and the Great Awakening's here. And so at a certain level, we've got to oppose the bad stuff Trump does, support the good stuff he does, but not fetishize it and only harp on that. Cover the Trump stuff, and we do, but also continue to look at what the future is from the left, the Democrat Socialists of America, the Fabian Socialists of England and the UK and Europe, and the fact that they're not a failed ideology. And people need to get this. I've harped on this a lot. We've got new examples of it. Communism with Marx and Engels, admittedly, came out of the Jacobins and the French Revolution, who claimed they wanted to empower humanity, but really they wanted to set themselves up as absolute rulers. They wanted to end the family unit. They wanted to have a 9-day work week, change the calendar. They wanted to dumb everybody down to make them easily manageable. They wanted to be absolute satanic rulers run by the Illuminati. Adam Weishaupt out of Ingolstadt University in Germany. And that's mainline history. People hear that and go, God, that's fiction. No, no, no. The Illuminati was a real organization, was behind the French Revolution. George Washington wrote a bunch of letters when he was president opposing the French Revolution, opposing the Illuminati. Just go to the National Archives online, type in George Washington letters on the Illuminati. There's dozens of them. They're incredible, written in his own hand. It's amazing. So people don't know this stuff. They need to know it. So the serfs in Europe, the serfs in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the serfs in Russia that were white slaves, they were being freed in the 1770s and 80s. And so they needed a new system to get people back under control. And they advertised it as communism. Workers of the world unite. We're going to put everything in a big pot and share it equally. But that's not what happens. Then people say, oh, communism killed hundreds of millions in the last century, and communism's a failure, and why does the left push it, and why do big banks and the Rockefeller Foundation and the UN push it, and because it's a form of slavery, and the elites that run it live in opulent circumstances and control you, the peons. It has nothing to do with actually empowering people, and it's not a failed system that doesn't work. So why do they keep trying to bring something that doesn't work? Why are they dumb? Why do the environmentalists want a carbon tax on air? That's dumb. Why do they want to get rid of half the farms? That's dumb. No, it's about serfdom. It's about control. It's about feudalism. Feudalism is the most common form of government in history. It's where you have a tiny elite that keeps the general public, 90-plus percent of them, on tiny pieces of property at starvation level for control. So if you move the word communism and change it with feudalism, now you've got it. And there's no example better than New York City. And this has been their plan forever. They pass laws where you can steal $2,000 up to $5,000, depending on the jurisdiction. Same thing in Europe. And the Walgreens and the CVS and the grocery stores close. The Walmart's close. The Target's close. They're food deserts. And then you've got the little mom and pop bodegas. They get robbed and shot up. And the Soros prosecutors let the people back out. And then everybody pulls out of the area and it's a wasteland. And then they say, oh, we're going to come in with city-run communist grocery stores that have lower prices than anybody else. And then they have armed guards. They don't put up with theft there. You get prosecuted, you try to steal $2,000 of stuff there. They already set some of these up as pilot programs, and they look like concentration camps or the old Soviet Union where there was no grocery stores for regular food. You had to go into these government facilities and stand in line for one sausage or one loaf of bread you got every, week or something. Remember Bernie Sanders said it like 6 years ago, he goes, why do I go to the store and there's 20 types of deodorant? We don't need 20 types. He doesn't like the diversity. He doesn't like the fact that anybody can go get into business and try their hand. He doesn't like rugged individuals. He doesn't like competition because that doesn't let their centralization take place. The way to really rule stuff's not innovate, they believe, and not be a trailblazer and not have the best. You don't compete. You create a monopoly. And that's what the ultra-rich robber barons that Teddy Roosevelt trust-busted and stood up to, they wrote and publicly talked about in the 1870s, 80s, 90s. They said, we don't want competition. We want to shut it down. We want crony capitalism. We want social Darwinism, that you deserve to be a slave. Anything we do brutal is just an apex predator position we're in. So now you have all these city officials and people on Mondavi's board, and it's been duplicated all over the world, financed by the same billionaires, saying, yeah, if there's still mom-and-pop grocery stores left and we undercut their prices because we're taxpayer-subsidized, that's okay. They can go out of business. And that's what it's really about is domestication. And it's really about shutting down small independent businesses. And then once this rolls out, Walmart and Target are already saying they'll sign on to be city-run if they're given government guards and promise they'll be protected. So see, if you're a city-affiliated, public or private, you're not going to have shoplifting. It's not going to be put up with. The judges will throw the book at you because that's their system that's in competition with everybody else. So people are really starting to get this. They're really starting to understand this. Yeah, you want Soviet breadlines? Vote for Zoran Mondami. But again, they go, oh, he's an idiot. He's a fool. He doesn't know what he's doing. No, he's following an exact formula. Mao killed 80 million people in the Cultural Revolution, the Great Leap Forward. He ordered all the farmers to go into communalized farms, and most of them starved to death. He wanted to get rid of them. He wanted to consolidate. They admitted it. So again, it's premeditated, it's a plan, and it's been the dominant force the last 70 years of the planet, communism under different names and flavors. So many people laugh at it and say, I'm not worried about that, I don't care, that'll never work. It's not designed to work, it's designed to cloud and pivot and collapse things. So this is a lady named Tiffany, Jason American Patriot, posted this on X, and she really gets it. And explains they're taking over. They want to be in charge. Exactly. They want to be. Look, everybody knows coal miners were basically indentured servants. You had to live in a government building, government enforced by the sheriff or the police, but you had to live in a corporate building. You had to go to a company store. You had to spend your money with them. They gouge you. They control you. Sharecroppers. The same thing, the old song, I owe my soul to the company store. It talks about how many tons of coal you got to get out each day. And the news is like, oh, they'll fail. They always fail. Yeah, but people that believe they're going to get a free handout, when each new level of the communism fails, they demand more communism. Where's my reparations? Where's my free health care? Where's my free food? Where's my free housing? Where's my free education? Where is it? Where is it? Well, just give us more power and you'll get it. Hey, I'm gonna make riding on the buses and trains free. Mondami doubled the price. They're not mad at him about that. They're like, okay, well, now there's something even bigger free he's going to give you. So this is just putting people back on the plantation. That's what communism was. You had tens of millions of serfs that were white slaves in Europe, quote, getting their freedom, and they just got put on the communist plantation. So let's go ahead and go to this lady. Here it is.
Hey, what's up, y'all? What y'all doing? I don't know what I just heard. It sounds bad. It's f***ed up. But let me know y'all comments in the comment section, because I don't know.
If the government opened a big grocery store right next to your bodega,
If one publicly owned grocery store that brings prices down in the neighborhood is enough to put someone out of business, then maybe they shouldn't have been in that business in the first place.
Interesting. That studio was so quiet after all that bullshit that came out of his mouth, you can hear a pin drop. Martha Face was looking like, what the f***? Are you serious? Why would the f*** would you say that? If government makes a grocery store in your neighborhood next to a bodega, and the bodega goes out of business, it's the bodega fault? I thought y'all was against government. But y'all want the government to come in and make all these grocery stores, make all these plans for people, and then push the regular people out. But then y'all against the government? Am I hallucinating? Oh, I get it now. Y'all want to be government. Y'all want to be the government that tells people what they can and cannot do. Y'all want the old government to leave, and y'all want to be the new government. Oh, okay, got it. Oh, y'all want to be the new power. Take the government down and make the government in y'all image. Ooh, smooth. New Yorkers, didn't y'all see what happened to Cuba? I think they still don't have lights over there. And the grocery stores over there barely have food. But y'all are going to vote for this like stupid asses. I don't get it. What's wrong with y'all? United States is the land of the free. You could do basically anything that you want to do over here. You can become rich. You could do everything over here. And y'all don't want that? You know what's going to be in those government grocery stores? Government cheese. Government canned goods. Not the name brand, the off brand. On the can, it's just going to say government. You don't even know if it's going to be peas, corn, government meat. You don't know. Processed all in the can. It's just going to say government. You're not even going to have the options to get different types of juices. No apple juice, pineapple juice, orange juice, nothing like that. It's just going to say juice mixed with all types of shit. You don't even know what you're drinking, especially coming from the government. It's just going to have a tangy aftertaste. Concentrated and thick. Loaded with sugar. Gonna give you diabetes. The bread is gonna be molded, okay? Always molded. You ain't gonna have no fresh bread nowhere, okay? You're gonna be eating mold. Y'all not even gonna be able to take the molded bread and the government cheese and make a grilled cheese sandwich. And y'all know about that government cheese. That shit don't melt. Somebody put allegedly over here on this video. Allegedly over here on this video. And the moral of the story is, for him to say some foul shit like that, y'all better run.
Oh, and at first it'll all be great stuff with big photo ops and the rest of it, but then it will degrade into that very quickly with insider deals with corrupt groups selling the food. It's a company store. You don't know what a company store is, just look it up. Company stores in U.S. history, the exploitation of the poor. This is a plan. They're following a cold-blooded, sick, evil blueprint where only select corporations are allowed in to operate, where your little business goes out of business. But it's worse than that. It's domestication. Yeah, a pig's getting fed food because it's going to get slaughtered. A cow's getting fed food, it's going to get slaughtered. That's what this is all about. Total control over you. So if you don't take the new shot during the lockdown, well, you don't get the food. That's the social credit score. That's the universal basic income. They want to run it all where you own nothing and you're happy. Let's go to Bill Maher talking about he's not going to live in a communist America. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not living in communist America. I mean, I know that the talking point is that, well, it's not communism, it's socialism. Okay, I've read the quotes from the DSA platform from their own mouths. Don't tell me I'm not seeing what I am seeing. And DSA, again, they...
Now, let's move on to the same lawyer for Democrat Socialist America, who is a woman who dresses like a man, of course. The DSA just released its manifesto calling for the abolition of the Senate, the presidency, and the Electoral College. Now, the Senate is popularly elected by the states. Until the 17th Amendment in 1913, when we got the Federal Reserve and the income tax, the 16th Amendment, the legislatures that you elect, they would then vote for the U.S. senators because the states needed to have a check and balance on the House, and so that gave the states incredible power, true power of the people, to divide between the feds and the states. But senators are absolutely democratically elected by a majority, two of them every 6 years, by the states. Saying that senators should be abolished, again, they're just getting you ready to abolish everything. Electoral College, they get all these illegal aliens in. Now they count those, the apportionment in the blue areas to get all these extra seats. Democrats have got 30 extra seats the last few years. The illegal aliens are also voting, many of them, but they get the seats. They get the blue districts already with that. And so, of course, they want to get rid of the Electoral College, so that's even worse. And then J.D. Vance explains how dangerous the Democrat Socialist of America are on Joe Rogan. Let's play those clips back to back.
So you don't want to abolish the Senate, the United States Senate, because that's what Article 1 is.
The United States Senate is an undemocratic institution. It gives more representation to people in smaller states than to the 30 million people in California.
So you've got the House of Representatives, which is population-driven, mm-hmm. and then you've got the Senate. So every state, if you're a small state, you still get two senators, even though you only get maybe one congressman, in order to make all of the states have fair representation. So you say, I'm just confused.
When you ask normal Americans if Congress and the Senate and our political system is working for them, mm-hmm. most people are very unhappy with the political system, and they say it's not working for them. When we think about the 250th anniversary of the United States, and we think about our proudest moments in U.S. history, I think of times like when ordinary people rose up and they changed the Constitution to abolish slavery, to mm-hmm. give women the right to
Everyone's
vote.
Everyone's proud of that.
And
that's a nationwide pride in the country.
But back in those moments, those were considered radical movements because those people dared to say we need transformative change in the United States.
Right. And well, I think we struggle to become a more perfect union. But I just want to ask you again, do you want to abolish the United States Senate? Because you said you approve of Article 1, but then you said you didn't think the Senate works.
We think that the Senate should be reformed, that we should have a more democratic government system. But that's a long-term change that we're seeking. And in the short term, we're focused on issues like affordability, like freezing the rent, which we've just done in New York, like creating a universal childcare system, which we're also taking steps toward doing, like fixing our energy grid.
It's the thing that I don't understand about the Democratic Socialists of America. And obviously, I disagree with a lot of their ideas. But like, if you go back to Cesar Chavez, one of the original like founding fathers of the American workers' rights movement, okay? He was a hardcore restrictionist on immigration because he thought that the bosses would bring in low-wage immigrants to compete against his workers, and that would drive down their wages. And yet the DSA, which says that they care about the wages of workers, is quite literally like an open borders organization. So I tend to think that it's all BS, that they are actually pursuing a set of policies that are good for – that are like corporations care way more about open borders than they do about any other policy the DSA cares about. So while these people say that they're trying to fight for workers and they're trying to fight for the working man, the actual end result of DSA policy is to flood the country with low-wage immigrants, which will destroy the middle class in this country. In fact, we have run this experiment for decades now, and we have a much weaker middle class than we did before it started.
All right, so the big question here is, do major companies push for open borders or lax immigration enforcement? And the answer is yes. Most major companies and business groups advocate for open immigration policies. They spend money advocating for it. Here are just a couple of the big giants like Google, Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, You have Cisco, Adobe, and then, of course, Uber and Lyft because they need those cheap workers. If you go down here, you have the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and they're pushing for it, too, to address what they call a labor shortage. Agricultural, of course, you have Tyson Foods and other agriculture giants that all want open borders because they can get really, really cheap foreign labor. Hospitality, Marriott and Hilton, they also push for it because they want really cheap workers to clean the rooms. And you have retail commerce like Walmart. So everybody wants cheap foreign labor if they're a major company, so they can flood the workforce, drive wages down, and then they can make more money. Wake up. Stop falling for it.
And then in places like California, they pass minimum wages, you know, that are $20 or whatever. And then all these companies close, lay people off, or hire AI and robots. So this is all designed to screw people. And you have the mega corporations are all funding the communism. You go to any major university, it's white people are evil, communism's great, Mondami's wonderful, AOC's wonderful. And they act like they're anti-establishment. BlackRock, the globalists, Bill Gates, they're all funding this because they're international. They're offshore. Google pays zero tax. All these big billionaires, all these big tech companies pay zero at the end of the day because it's all offshore, except one guy. And I'm not kissing his ass. It's just true. Elon Musk. Remember about 4 or 5 years ago, they go, you're not paying enough. He said, all right, I'll pay actually at the bracket. Paid $43 billion or something 1 year. He said, now I challenge all of you to not use the loopholes. Sergey Brin, Larry Page, Eric Schmidt, Sundar Pichai. They'll pay property taxes on their house here. They'll pay some, you know, sales tax and things. But they don't pay the income tax because they're offshore. You can look it up. But they're all commies. They're all liberals. Huge super yachts, jumbo jets, 4, 5, 6 kids apiece. But you can't have air conditioning. You can't have a car. Remember Obama? I found the clip. Went to Africa. The last year he was in office, 2016. Did African tour. Headline, Obama tells Africans they can't have air conditioning or a car because the earth will overheat and burn up. I can't really do a good Obama person, but and I'm here to tell you, you know, you can't have a car. I know you all want a car, air conditioning, but you can't. It'll overheat. The planet will burn up. I can't do an Obama imitation good. You want to see that? Crew, it's like 10, 11 years old, but you can find it. You can also find the articles. I mean, imagine this guy has a huge mansion at 1 foot above sea level in Martha's Vineyard, huge mansion in Hawaii, on the coast, which he said would be flooded by 2017, all lies, and then he lives in these huge frickin' mansions. I mean, the guest house is a mansion, which is okay. It's okay if he got money from Netflix and all the rest of it. The point is, don't sit there and tell Africans you can't have a car or air conditioning, or you're going to kill the earth. While you do this crap, it's sick. All right, we're going to come back with some really powerful information about the PSYOP and how to counter it. Then we'll tie it into Islam and all the craziness going on there. Also, facial recognition going into it's been in, but the grocery stores. You think Flock's bad? This is the next level to all of it. By the way, Flock's got facial recognition, just in case you didn't know. We got some good news on some of the things Trump's doing with the pedo pride. It's all coming up. Share those live feeds now at rumble.com/ Alex Jones Show Live and Alex Jones right there on exit. Real Alex Jones. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
We are back live on this live Wednesday transmission. Michael Yon in studio coming up in an hour to the deep dive on the snowball going down hell into total war with Iran and Saudi Arabia announcing they're getting nukes, as I told you was coming, and just so much more. But I want to play a clip of this fellow. I don't even know who he is. I've seen him a few times in the last few years. Everything he always says is dead on. I've tried to track back who he is or where he is. I think he's in Eastern Europe. But he nails it. Unmissable. This guy is bang on point. This is what Rockefeller, WF, UN, EU, etc. are doing to us. Can you feel it? And they admit this is the plan, and then it ties into all the Stockholm Syndrome and how Islam is being used as well. Let's go to this clip.
Come closer. I've got something to tell you. Something is happening across the Western world. You can feel it on the streets, in the courts, at work, and online. It's not just political. It's not just cultural. It's psychological. A silent shift is underway, and it has a name. The Inversion Matrix. Five sections. Section 1. The reversal begins. In this new system, the native becomes the intruder. The majority becomes the villain, and the truth becomes hate speech. The very people whose ancestors built these nations, who raised the families, tilled the land, and paid taxes, now find themselves apologizing for simply existing. How did this happen? Section 2. Psychological engineering and guilt programming. It began with psychological engineering. First, inject guilt programming. A constant stream of reminders about colonialism, slavery, privilege, and oppression. Then, flood the language with weaponized labels. Racist, transphobe, Islamophobe, far right. Each designed to shut down conversation. To train you, to self-censor, and to submit. This isn't about justice. It's about control through confusion. Section 3. The two-tier system of compassion. Look around and you'll see it. As a matter of fact, I think that you know it already. Certain groups can gather publicly in the name of religion or pride. Others are fined, silenced, or arrested for praying silently. Crimes by one group are explained away as trauma, misunderstanding, or cultural norms. Same crime committed by someone else, instant outrage. National headlines and cancellation. We have moved from equal rights to engineered imbalance. From justice for all to justice selectively applied. Section 4. Institutional capture. Every major institution in the Western world has been taken over by the same ideological virus. Schools no longer teach pride in culture, but shame in history. Police now investigate feelings, not felonies. Media filters truth through an ideological lens, where facts are problematic and narratives are sacred. Even churches and temples now bow down to slogans instead of scripture. This is called institutional capture, and it's not accidental. Section 5 is the long game. Divide, demoralize, and replace. But why? Because a divided, guilt-ridden, and morally paralyzed society is easier to govern. Shatter its tradition. Drown it in imported ideologies. Redefine its language. And turn its people against themselves. This is what I keep trying to say. These are the true cracks to the matrix. The end goal? Not justice, not harmony, but the population too confused to resist and too fragmented to unite. But let's be clear. This isn't a war between races or religions or genders. It's a war between truth and programming. Between those who remember who they are and those who've been rethought to forget. You don't need to hate anyone, but you do need to see. Because the longer we stay silent, the more the inversion matrix tightens. Until what was once solid, identity, family, faith, law, becomes liquid, then meaningless, then gone. This isn't about hate, I repeat. This is about survival. And if you're still listening, it means the program didn't fully work on you. Not yet.
And that's why you see people at Black Lives Matter events, white people by the thousands bowing down, licking boots, saying, I'm bad, I'm white. They want to reject being white because they've been told that's oppressive, that's evil. And then now Black Lives Matter, funded by Soros and the left, is communism, transgenderism for black men is one of their six planks, abolishing the nuclear family. How is being black getting rid of the nuclear family and turning your men into effeminate creatures? How is that signing on to communism? So, see, first they say, bow down to blacks, show you're not racist. And then bowing down means you agree to the whole globalist agenda that has nothing to do with black people except enslaving them and all of us as well. And then you see all over the Western world where Westerners are taught, don't ask a woman out, it's rape. But the aggressive Muslims and all the rest of it, they can grab little girls as sex slaves. That's okay. They don't get in trouble. And so you see the epidemic of women converting to Islam. They think the West is oppressing women, where women are super empowered. But then they think Islam is great because it's predominantly not white and it's anti-Western and the left celebrates it. So they convert to it. And here's some examples of that. Just liberal white woman says she's converting to Islam after hearing a call to prayer over a loudspeaker. This very same leftist, I'm sure, where 30 years ago got all the church bells banned. And then meanwhile, some excellent historical breakdowns about the takeover of Islam. But in this one report, they talk about how Islam invaded Europe for 500 years and the Crusades was a response to that. It's 650-something years. Okay? I mean, by the time Muhammad was dead, he'd taken over thousands of square miles, and 100 years after he was dead, he'd taken over the whole Middle East, and then it's on. It's on. And then the Crusades was a response starting in the 1200s and the 1300s because they pushed all the way into Western Europe. None of that's taught in school, even though it's mainline history. None of that's taught in the movies, all the Ridley Scott movies about the Middle East. We're the bad guys. We're invading. We're evil. The Muslims are perfect little angels. And the average person is so historically illiterate, they don't know this. So let's play back-to-back this lady converting to Islam. Then we have another, I mean, I see hundreds of these a day if I wanted to look. I mean, literally, I see dozens a day without even looking. Islamic imam explains how they're going to take over America. A good breakdown on Spain might have won the World Cup, but they don't remember their history. They won't exist anymore. That ties into Muslims today are not hiding their intention to conquer. And then that goes into some of the other breakdowns that I've got here that we're going to be going over. Here's those reports. Oh, she loves it. It's so wonderful. She's got her headphones on. What does that even mean? She loves people making her listen to something. Can I go play AC/DC outside her house? But this is Stockholm Syndrome.
One day you're going to be the president of the United States of America. No one, go Michael Ali, who can stop you from becoming a president. Dream big. Have a vision. Because if Barack Hussein Obama can be a president, Soheib Jawad cannot be a president? Yeah. He's going to be a president. He's talking about that the Muslims will take over Mecca. They used to laugh at him. What happened? What is Mecca now? Where is Mecca? It's coming. Change is coming to America. And what is Allah telling us? Kuntum khayra ummatin. You are the best of nations. You're better than everybody else. That's what Allah is saying. Let's work towards that. Let's work towards a Muslim mayor. Next election that comes in, nominate people for the school board of education. Next election that comes here, nominate people for the local township. Begin the demographics change. People converted. There's a big, huge conversion going on in this country. Where are the converts? They just convert and they're gone in the wilderness. The other thing, children. Muslims have the highest population. Average, they did a Pew Foundation did a research study, Pew Foundation, and they said that Muslim household average is 3.4 child per family. The white American has one child per family. We're already beating the march. Because these are voters. These are not just babies being born in hospitals. These are voters. That's the way a politician looks at it. We have to change the framework and start looking at things from a different lens, different angle. For future. You're not going to change society today in your lifetime. But you think of...
Why aren't young people taught about the historical relationship between Christianity, Islam, and Judaism? It starts with 1492 being the bridge to the new world. And you can't understand the problems we face in 2025 if you don't understand what happened back here. And it really is true that all roads lead back to Rome, which is why I have been and will continue to try to get Roman Helmichai to teach classes for us. So in 395 AD, the Roman Empire split in two. And while the West collapsed in 476, the Byzantine Empire would last for another 1,000 years until it was conquered by who? The Ottoman Empire. So it was conquered by Islam. And the Ottomans would conquer Greece, Bulgaria, Serbia, Bosnia, Albania, Macedonia, Hungary. And you heard that right. Greece was ruled by the Ottoman Empire for 400 years. And the Ottoman Empire would enslave 5 to 10 million people. And as many as 3 million Europeans. And not just men, but women. From Hungary, Ukraine, Russia, Greece, Italy, and Spain, forced into a life of institutionalized sexual slavery in the Ottoman Empire. And dating back to the year 718, Islam had conquered Spain. In fact, it had conquered an immense amount of territory, and it would take nearly 800 years of military campaigns for Christians to take Spain back, which overlapped with the Crusades and finally ended in 1492. And you have to wonder, if people were taught real history, would they be comfortable with the changing demographics we're seeing all across the Western world? As for the second straight year, Muhammad is the most popular baby name in England. But in 1492, Spain was liberated, which gives you some context of how the Spanish Inquisition came about. And that same year, 1492, the Jewish people were also expelled from Spain. And Christopher Columbus would depart for the New World at the same time, which he talks about in his writings, which is really interesting. But like the Muslims, the Jewish people always had a distrustful relationship with the Christian world. And at that time in Spain, they were accused of being a subversive force within the country, with many people claiming that they had metaphorically opened the gates for Islam to come into Spain. And they faced different but similar accusations in other countries around Europe. And just like in Spain, they would be expelled from many of those different countries. Now, I'm not making any claims. I'm just describing the historical turbulence that has existed between these Abrahamic religions. History may or may not repeat itself, but it definitely rhymes. And through the proper and accurate study of history, we could better understand what's happening in England, what's happening in Europe, and what's happening in the United States, because we owe it to young people to teach them how we got to where we are today. And that is what I love to help parents with. And it's why we've been studying the Age of Discovery. Check out my private homeschool community. And Cubs to Bears, books, classicallearner.com. And I would just like to add that I have absolute respect for Christian people, Muslim people, Jewish people, all people. And in my opinion, accurate historical studies actually help improve the relationships between all different people.
But here's a fun fact. The Crusades happened because of Islam. Because Islam is not a religion of peace. The first Crusade began in 1095. But it wasn't because Christians were looking to pick a fight with their neighbors and baptize the whole face of the planet. The first Crusade was called only after 4 centuries of Muslim aggression.
It's actually 600.
The first Crusade was called 460 years after the first Christian city was overrun by Muslim armies. 457 years after Jerusalem was conquered by Muslims. 453 years after Egypt was taken.
And I know this lady, she's really smart and great. In fact, I wish she wouldn't have retired and got married and had kids. She's been in the studio before, but the point is, she's technically right that there was some Christians fought back after 400 years, but it wasn't the official, you know, England and France and everybody and the Normans going, rah. I mean, the big stuff started. The reconquering of Spain started 600 plus years after they got taken over. So that and that's really when it kicks off, okay? So she's technically right. I'm right, too. I shouldn't split hairs about this. I'm sorry. Let's go back to it.
3 years after Italy was plundered, 427 years after Muslims first laid siege to the Christian capital of Constantinople, 380 years after Muslims conquered Spain, 363 years after France was first attacked, and 249 years after the capital of Christendom, Rome itself was sacked by a Muslim army. The First Crusade only came after centuries of church burnings, murder, enslavement, and forced conversions of Christians, all at the hands of Islam. And by the time the Crusades finally began, Muslim armies had conquered two-thirds of the Christian world. Look, if you want to keep living in your fantasy land where all religions are equal or where Islam is the victim, go ahead. But just so you know, history is repeating itself. Our nations are being invaded by millions of Muslim men of fighting age. This is a holy war, one that Islam started, indeed, one that Islam views as never having stopped in the first place. Islam is not a religion of peace. Its text, its prophet, and an enormous percentage of its adherents are hell-bent on breaking the cross, though they never will. There are 109 verses in the Quran that call Muslims to war with non-believers for the sake of Islamic rule. Some are quite graphic, with commands to chop off the heads and fingers and kill infidels. Their holy book also says that Muslims who do not join the fight are, quote, hypocrites, and are warned that Allah will send those people to hell if they don't join the slaughter.
Within 100 years of Muhammad's death, Islam conquered 70% of the Christian world. This was a conquest. Islam is not a religion. It is a political movement. Islam masquerades as a religion for us to accept them into the West as freedom of religion. But under the religion, it is a political movement that seeks to take over the world. In Spain, there was 1 million Muslims living in Spain. And in one day, if you study history, in one day, 500,000 Muslims converted to Christianity. In one day, 500,000 Muslims left their religion and became Christians.
Wow.
And the Christians thought it was revival. The Christians thought, wow, this is revival. God is moving. The Muslims are turning to Christ. But later on, they found out that the 500,000 Muslims that became Christians were not real converts. They were simply lying to the Christians for the Christians to allow them into their nation, to allow them into their homes and churches. And later on, they found out that the Muslims were going to church on Sunday, worshiping Jesus, taking communion, getting baptized. But on Friday, they were gathering in the mosques, strategizing how they were going to take over Spain. So there was this double face of hypocrisy. And then they found out that the Muslims that were coming in to the churches and converting, they found out that half of these guys were literally planning to kill pastors and Christians in their churches. So in 2016 in Spain, there was a pastor who had 10 Muslims convert in his church. 10 Muslims convert in his church. And the 10 Muslims, he invited them to his house. He welcomed them. He ate with them. He sat with them. He was discipling them. And later on, he found out that 6 of those Muslims were simply planning to kill him and his family. And that's why they acted like they became Christians. And that's the danger of this teaching of Taqiyya. You are allowed to a non-Muslim. According to the Quran, this is what the white Americans don't understand. In the West, we don't anybody. Like that's just not what you do. We'll put you in jail. In Islam, you're not allowed to a Muslim, but you are allowed to a non-Muslim. In the Quran, they call it what your right hand possesses. So Muhammad says, if you go to war against a nation,
it's yours,
and you take them as plunder, it's not just the gold that's your plunder. The girls are your plunder. So you kill the man and you take the wife, his wife, to be your sex slave, and you're allowed to do that. That's why October 7th, what did the Muslim men do? They the Israelis. Why? That's their plunder. And according to the Quran, that's not sin. In Christianity, that's wicked. In Islam, that's not wicked. That's actually approved. So if America does not wake up, cases are going to increase, and the knife and terrorist attacks are going to increase. 9/11 is going to happen all over again. And in 9/11, Dennis, what fascinates me is in 9/11, we said we'll never forget. And unfortunately, we already forgot. Zohra Mamdani is already in charge. And I just pray that America doesn't need to end up like Europe to wake up. I pray they wake up and take our warning today.
We always hear about Islamic groups attacking the West, but apparently they actually kill more Muslims than they do anybody else.
Does. Well, Islam is just a violent religion. That's why, for example, what we saw last week in Ireland was that Muslim guy beheading the Irish guy. For them, that's normal because that happens in their country. In country, there's killing every day. So you're just, what it is you're bringing in a third world country that doesn't understand Western values, and Western values come from the Bible. They come from the Ten Commandments, and you're bringing them in the West and you're expecting them to assimilate, but they're not assimilating. They're simply bringing in their Middle Eastern Muslim values into America, and it's just not working. It's like the analogy I like is Raymond Ibrahim. Bringing Muslims from the Middle East into America, it's like putting a lion in a cage with 100 sheep. Imagine getting a cage and putting a lion in a cage with 100 sheep. What is that lion going to do? He's going to destroy this 100 sheep. He's going to kill them and destroy them. And we can blame the lion as much as we want, It's not the lion's fault. A lion will always do what a lion does. And same with Islam. You bring a real Muslim, and I'm not saying all Muslims are violent, but you bring a real faithful Muslim in the Middle East, in the West, they're just going to do what they always do. They're going to kill, they're going to rape, they're going to be violent, they're going to be terrorists. Why? You're putting a lion in a cage with sheep. They just don't coexist. That's the West and the Middle East.
Yeah, but why is it that so many Americans or some people in the world say, well, these, or even Muslims themselves, they will say, we're not like that. Those are extremists. Those are the terrorists. We don't believe like that. We're a religion of peace.
Exactly. So the question is Islam a religion of peace? There are peaceful Muslims around the world. Not every Muslim is violent. Not every Muslim is
Orthodox.
Terrorist. I love Muslims. I always tell people, I love Muslims, I hate Islam. I love the people, I hate the ideology. But unfortunately, when people say that the people, the Muslims that kill are radicals, the Muslims that kill are extremists, that's just not true or factual at all. The Muslims that kill are actually the real faithful Muslims.
That's right.
Because the Quran commands Muslims to kill the
We need to take this guy, we need to get him on the show, watch him for years. We need to, he used to be a Muslim, if I remember correctly. We need to take his clip and then like a 20-minute video, though, of just imams. He said something and then show five imams saying exactly that and show the Quran. Because, I mean, they go on international Islamic TV and the Palestinian TV. I play the clips and say, we take their women, anybody who's not a Muslim, and we enslave them. And your husband is allowed to have sex slaves and put them in as prostitutes. We're allowed to sell drugs to the infidels, the coffers. And, I mean, it's just, it's hell on earth, people. It's absolute hell on earth. It's incompatible. It is a nightmare. And I've run into a lot of Muslims that are nice people, okay? But the Orthodox ones, they're the ones you got to watch out about. They're the real Muslims. We're going to break. You know, I said I wouldn't get into Iran until Michael Young got here, and that's in 30 minutes. But my goodness gracious, Trump just did a bunch of crazy stuff. Now he wants to invade another country. Mali. Wait till you hear this. I mean, they just gave me like 10 huge news stories. Trump did it again. He says, I have 100% approval for the war. CNN's putting out fake polls. Big surprise. Now they're, you know, pro-Trump. It's even worse. Now they have that evil operation putting on stuff for him. I mean, this is cuckoo town. It's all coming up. Please remember, we're listener supported. Right now, for only a few more days, any order on the site above $29 gets a free mystery t-shirt. Just put in the size you want. There's a whole giant mega sale. Methylene red capsules are in, 50% off. Ultimate power, super pre-workout, 10-hour clean energy, it's 50% off. And so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support. When the deep state removed Richard Nixon back in 1974, he had the highest approval rating of any president since they started doing approval ratings in the last 100 plus years. And so now there's this rediscovery of Nixon, and he's certainly anti-establishment. So we have an entire line of Nixon 2028 shirts that are extremely triggering to libtards and others. And so many other incredible designs now available at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, visit the site, the very best supplements, amazing methylene blue, the best bovine colostrum, collectible coins, the very best water filtration, highest ratings for showers and for your drinking water. All of it is symbiotic. All of it's a win-win. All of it is great. All of it empowers you and it funds our operation. Please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, share our new news site with the live video feeds, the archive feeds, the videos, the special reports, the articles at alexjoneslive.com. That is the coordinates of the Second American Revolution worldwide at alexjoneslive.com. And follow me on X at Real Alex Jones on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. You're the Paul Revere's. Tell them where the resistance is right now. You've got all the power. When you take action, you're unstoppable. I salute you and I thank you. Now take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. They called me crazy. They called me paranoid. But now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I Told You So.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
If you are
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.